You may be seated. Today's scripture is from John 1, 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to that light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him and who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who was born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Jim, it is good to have you here today. I'm sure you came to hear Chris and not me, but here you are. Thank you. Now, this is the eighth day of a new year, 2017. Christmas has come and has brought with it once again the light of God's love that comes to us in Jesus Christ. And the good news is that we have 357 days exactly left to share that love, to keep that hope going in the world, to keep faith alive in this world. Several years ago, there appeared an article in the LA Times about a family who lived in a suburb here in LA. And they kept their Christmas lights on well past the Christmas season. Everybody else had taken their lights down, but they kept their lights going in January and February and March and April, and the neighbors began to talk about it and began to be critical of them. Until one morning in early May, there appeared a sign on the front yard of that family's home, and it read, "Welcome Home, Jim." And the neighbors knew right away what it was, that family had had a son that had been serving in the military in Afghanistan and was coming home. And that they kept those lights on burning brightly for him. You see, Christmas is a time of receiving God's light into our lives. Receiving hope, receiving faith, receiving love. But more importantly, taking that light and sharing it with everyone that we meet in the world. And that's what I think the writer of the Gospel of John in his prologue is trying to help us to understand in our lives today. He begins that prologue by saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then he says, the Word became flesh and came and what? Dwelt among us. It became a light to all people. A light that would shine in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Think about it. That God has given us a light that the darkness cannot overcome. And that's why from our earliest age we say over and over again, what? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we have the opportunity to share that light to all that we meet. Two things that I would lift up today. The first is simply that we can keep hope going in life. Keep hope alive. Keep hope a part of all that we do. This past Christmas Eve, our family attended a Christmas Eve service, and they sang one of my favorite hymns there, a hymn that was written by Phillips Brooks many years ago. It was written while he was visiting at the Advent season, the city of Bethlehem. And one evening he was sitting on the hillside, maybe like the shepherds did, looking over the city, the lights of the city. And these words came to him, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the dark and dreamless sleep, thy silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are born in thee tonight. Yet in thy dark street shineth thy everlasting light. That the hopes and the fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Now, winter is the darkest time of the year. We know that. And it's a time when there are dark nights and short days. And yet, winter can also be a time, can it not, when we experience discouragement and disappointment and worry. And we can experience downtimes in our lives. And yet, that's when God gives us hope. When God says that I will give you the victory over the defeats of your life. I will give you the victory over the disappointments you may be experiencing in your life. One of my favorite comic strips for basically almost all my life is Peanuts. And one of the cartoons, it shows Linus, who's sitting figuring all the statistics for Charlie Brown's baseball team for that year. And he's sitting there and he's working them on. And finally, he gets to that point that he's finished and he comes to Charlie Brown. And he says to Charlie Brown, "You know, Charlie Brown, in 12 games, we almost scored a run. In 9 games, the other team almost didn't score a run before the first out. Lucy almost caught 3 fly balls. Lucy almost made the right play." And then he paused and he said, "Charlie Brown, we led the team in almost." Now, how many times in life do we experience an almost? Things don't go the way that we expected them to go. Demands are upon us, and goals that we set for ourselves we don't reach. Relationships may not work out the way that we want them to work out. And that's why hope is so, so important for us. Because hope allows us to move what? Beyond the almost of life. And to be victorious. I read a story one time about the great missionary David Livingstone. And serving so many years in Africa. And one time he wrote back to his headquarters that he needed volunteers to come down and help him. And several days later he received a letter from them saying there are a number of volunteers who are willing to come, but they want to know if the roads are good. And David Livingstone wrote back immediately, "If the only reason that they're going to come is because the roads are good, tell them not to come. Tell them to stay home." Now, God reminds us that there are going to be days that the road's going to be rough for us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to have twists and turns and potholes. But God also says to us, I want people who will go down a difficult road. I want people who will come even when there are twists and turns. I want people who are willing to hope and to believe even when the way is not easy. God says to us, that's the kind of hope that I want for you to live out in your life. That's the kind of hope that you and I need to live out in our lives. I was in a bookstore not long ago, and I picked up a book that was entitled The Greatest Sports Games of All Time and What Was Behind Them. I was fascinated as I read through it. I came upon one of the stories that it told about the LSU team that won a game back in January 4th, 2004 over Oklahoma in the Nokia Bowl. They won that game. But behind the scenes, it said that that game that they won began 440 days before that, when the LSU team had played very poorly the University of Mississippi in Little Rock. And after that game, the players and the coaches of LSU sat down and they began to talk about it, but they began to dedicate themselves to the next year. And they developed what they call the fourth quarter program. That in each game the next year, when it came to the fourth quarter, they would look up at the scoreboard and look up at the clock and they would hold up four fingers. And that would represent that they would give their very best, do their very best, be their very best in the game that was ahead. And that's what God says to us. Do your very best. Play your very best. Play like champions. Live in my hope. Those are four powerful words. Live in my hope. Now, the second thing I would say is that we can keep faith going. Not just hope, but we can keep faith going. Keep faith a part of everything that we do in our lives. I like the story of a man by the name of Fred. And he was talking with a friend one day, and he says to his friend, tell you what I'll do for you. For $100, I'll sell you an elephant. And his friend said, well, I don't want an elephant. I don't even like elephants. And Fred said, well, don't be so stubborn. Listen to what I say. For $100, I'll sell you a full-grown elephant. And his friend said back, you're not listening to me. I don't like elephants. What would I do to an elephant? Where would I keep it? Think of all the mess that the elephant would make. Fred thought about it for a moment, and then he turned with a smile on his face, and he said, tell you what I'll do. For $150, I'll sell you two elephants. And the man said, now you're talking. Oh, how many times in life do we find an elephant in our lives, and then more elephants come? Life can be demanding, it can put pressure on us. And yet we know that faith keeps us going. Faith keeps us going when the elephants are a part of our daily living. It keeps us moving forward to share that faith, to live that faith out. Bill Henson was a pastor of a large United Methodist church down in Houston for a number of years. And he tells of going to a hospital one time to visit a parishioner. And he went up to the nurse's station and he asked about the patient. And they said, well, they're working on it right now. You're going to have to wait a few minutes. And so he stood there by the nurse's station and he heard a nurse behind the counter there humming a familiar hymn. But she'd only hum it to a certain point, and then she would stop. She didn't know the rest of it. And she did this several times. And finally, after the fifth time, and she got to that place and she couldn't go any further, Bill Henson said he sang the words for the rest of the song to her. And when he was finished, the nurse turned to another nurse and said, "This man finished my song." And Jim turned to the nurse and said, "I just wanted you to know the words for that song." Now, there are times in our lives when we don't know how to finish a song, when we don't know the words that will complete that song. And yet, over and over again, we're reminded, are we not, that God will not put onto us more than we are able to handle. That God won't test us without giving the words to the end of the song. Think about it. Think about when you're going through a difficult time in your life, that you just pause and allow God to finish your song, to make you become victorious over whatever it is that you're facing. I'm reminded of a story I heard one time of a mother who was talking with her daughter. Her daughter was grown at the time, but they were talking about when the daughter was just a child. And the mother was reminded of the fact that every once in a while, when the girl was young, she would pause at a certain point in her life and just close her eyes for a few seconds and then open her eyes again. And one time when the daughter was getting ready for school, the mother noticed that she had closed her eyes and then she opened her eyes, and she was curious, so she asked her daughter why she did it. And her daughter said, "Well, my day wasn't going so well, so I closed my eyes for a while, and when I open my eyes, I restart my day." And the daughter went on to say, "You know, I don't know when I started doing it, but I know I've been doing it most of my life, that whenever things get difficult, whenever things get tough, I just close my eyes for a few minutes, and I open them, and I restart my day." Now, isn't that really what prayer is all about? Prayer is closing our eyes and allowing the power and the presence of God to come into our lives and strengthen whatever it is that we need to have strengthened in our life to go out into the world. To feel that power and that presence in such a way that it makes a difference. Think about it when the next time you may be struggling with something or demands upon you, just close your eyes. And when you open them, restart your day in a new way. I close with this. A father one day was driving his teenage son to school on his way to work. And as they were driving towards the school, the son turned to his father and said, "You know, today I have to go to school again." And the father immediately turned to him and said, "No, son, you get to go to school." And the boy said, "But Dad, you have to go to work every single day." And his father said, "No, I get to go to work every single day." Then the father paused for a moment. He turned to his son and he said, "When I was your age, I used to think about all the things that I was going to get to do, that I would get an education, that I would get married, that I would get to have a family, that I would get to have a home, that I would to be a citizen of a great nation. He paused again and turned to his son, and he said, I want you to learn one lesson, that life is not a have to, it's a get to. Oh, my friends, we get to have an education. We get to get married. We get to have a family. We get citizenship in our lives. Ours is a get-to life. And when we wake up each morning, we should wake up, stand up, and say, Lord, what is it I get to do today? Not have to, but get to do today. Because you see, God sent his light into the world. A light that shines in the darkness. And no matter what happens, the darkness can never overcome it. Amen. Thank you. I've been a preacher for 50 years and no one's ever done that. So let us pray. Oh, Lord, we do know that we can keep hope going. We can keep faith going in our life. We do know that whenever times get tough, when the road's hard, we know that you're there. Help us to just close our eyes and when we open them, know that we can move forward in your power and your love. Amen.